So today, my brother shared the theme. And the theme is seek first the kingdom of God. And the topic that God chose for today and for this week is called worry. Worry. So we're going to read the scripture. The scripture for the theme, which is Matthew 6, 9 to 34. Matthew 6, 13 to 34. I'm going to read the whole thing from New Living Translation. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and kill and steal. It says, store your treasure in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your body, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, or your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't harvest, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worry add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? 31. Says, so don't worry about this thing, saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? These things dominate the thoughts of believers. Of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Praise the Lord. See, when God gave me this scripture and this topic, he wanted me to share what happened to us one time. I think I shared it either in Sunday school or I shared it here, I'm not sure. But what happened to us at one particular point in time was that when we bought the house in Lawrenceville, we didn't know that the house had some roofing problems. So each time it rained, there was leaks inside the house. If you understand what I mean. There were leaks almost every hook and corner. But there was one particular day, there was one certain day, that it rained so much for the whole weekend. And the rain was so much that in the attic, rain was falling. You could hear the noise. Tum, tum, tum. So what I did was I went and got a bucket. I got a bucket and I put a bucket over there. So on Friday night, I put the bucket. Saturday morning, I go, the bucket is full. I throw it, I come down, throw it out. So this happened on Saturday night. So Saturday night, I put it up there. And I was telling my wife, I was hinting my wife. I said, if this thing continues like this, we're not going to church. My wife says, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. But my heart was not in sync with her heart. It wasn't in sync at all. Let's be honest. So what happened was, on Saturday night, I put a bucket. Sunday morning, the bucket filled up again. I threw it out. She said, "Oh, come on, let's pray about it. That this rain, even though it rained, is going to fall, it's not going to drip again." I was looking at her like, you kidding me? It dripped. It filled up on Friday. Filled up on Saturday. And you're telling me it's not going to fill up on Sunday? How? So I said, okay, fine. But what then happened was, on Sunday morning, we prayed about it. My heart wasn't there, but we prayed about it. Then we put the bucket, then went to church. We live about 1 hour and 5, 10 minutes away. So can you imagine we leave home about, say about 8 o'clock, 7:45, 8. And we get here about 9 o'clock. And you know, church goes through. And after church, people want to talk to you. You have meetings. Then you have to go back home again. I'll be honest with you. My mind wasn't here. And that's what happens to worry. My mind wasn't here. My mind was in the house. What's going to happen? But you know what happened? God, with his infinite mercy, showed me something that day. When we got back home, and you know, it's so funny. It's kind of funny. Because when we're leaving, you would think we're going to go home straight. My wife now remembers that we didn't go grocery shopping. So we had to stop over to go grocery. So by the time I got home, it was like 6. So from 8 o'clock till 6 o'clock, we're not home. I was thinking the worst. I thought the whole roof has caved in. I thought the worst. But you know, to my surprise, what happened was, when we got home, the bucket, the water in the bucket, wasn't this much. God taught me a lesson right there. That all the worry in the world, it won't amount to anything. It didn't stop. But God proved it to me that when you worry, you're not depending on him. You're depending on yourself. So the thing is, you have to understand, this teaching is to kind of bring an awareness that worries, you have worries all over. Things would happen. You have worries about issues. Things will come up. We're not exempt from things from happening. It will definitely happen. But the question is, what do you do when it happens? So today we're going to talk about the causes of worry. And on Sunday, we're going to conclude with a solution to worry. Praise the Lord. So today, you know, you look at worry. Personally, I don't look at worry. You know, it's not an option for believers. If you finish reading this scripture, you know that God is always there to take care of you. I know sometimes you know you lose a job. People might think, come on, it's not realistic. If I lose my job now, there's a big tendency I'm going to worry, because who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to pay all that? But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, when we're done, you will understand that worry is not an option for believers. And that's what the Bible says. I don't want to go so... bear with me. I don't want to go so fast, because going so fast, you won't understand the whole thing. So, you see, I was going through a songwriter. His name is Andre Crouch. He sang a song. And the song says this. It says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His word. See, if you look at this scripture I just read now, in Matthew 6, 19 to 34, it tells you that we need to just depend on God. It gives you volumes. It talks about just depending on God for everything. So seeking the kingdom of God in times of adversity is learning to actively depend on Jesus. And learning to actively depend on the word. And that's why King James says, seek first. He didn't say seek last. He didn't say seek in between. He didn't say seek when you like it. It said seek first. And the reason why he says seek first is it's saying don't worry when news breaks out. Yes, you're concerned. You're concerned, yes. But worry, it takes you to a different level. It's like, you know, putting gears. It takes you to a different level. And when you go to that different level, sometimes it's a point of no return. Because you start to think all kinds of ways. But you know, I tell you an encouraging scripture that I always talk to myself about. Psalm 34:19, the Amplified. It says, many hardships and perplexing circumstances. Perplexing means things that you can't really figure out. Confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all. Things happen. So today, what the direction I'm going to go is basically taking Matthew 6, 19 to 34. I'm breaking it down from verse to verse so we can understand the causes of worry. Then on Sunday, we'll finish up where I didn't start, where I stopped, then tell you the solution. But I'll tell you this, you know, in this text, you see like lack of faith, lack of love, lack of priorities. Because I'm telling you, when you think about worry, there's a lot of misplaced priorities. But I want to encourage us today that you finish hearing this, what the word says. According to James 1, 22, 24, you want to be a doer of this word. You don't want to just hear it and say, you know what, it's okay, I've heard it. And you don't do it. You can't see, if you don't do it, you can't see it really work for you. So James 1, 22, 24 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do it, do what he says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You will see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. So the point I'm making is that, you know, you might think it's difficult, but the Bible says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So that's my encouragement today. So let's just dive into the causes of worry. Let's look at Matthew, the same Matthew 6, 19 to 21. The first cause of worry is putting your treasures on earth. That's the first cause of worry. He says, do not store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroy them. I'm reading New Living Translation. And where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. You know, when I read the scripture, you know, God kind of reminded me of the Ponzi scheme Bernard Madoff. You know, so I went in and I started to research. I started to research how much was the actual amount. You know, because, you know, they talk about it, but, you know, when you go in, you Google it and you research it. The amount that was missing from clients, including fabricated gains, was $65 billion. So that's people's life savings. People that were retired, life savings. And some people, because of that, they killed themselves. They lost their lives. There's so many uncertainties in this world. There's so many of them. You know, stock market goes up. If you do stock market, it goes up. Tomorrow it goes down. Tomorrow you sell. Those uncertainties, the Bible is saying, do not put your treasures here on earth. Because if you keep, I remember one time that I was in a New York Times. And, you know, these people, they have their, you know, Fidelity stock market, and they're looking at the stock. And you see people, they're almost about to have a heart attack because the stock goes from 100 down to 10, $10. And it's for me, I think the Bible is telling us, and I believe, and I won't say I think, but I believe that the Bible is telling us, don't put your treasures on this earth. Put your treasures in Him, on the spiritual. Because the things here will perish. Let's look at some few scriptures so you understand what I'm saying. Psalm 119:37 says, turn your eyes from worthless things and give life through your word. It's telling you. It says, turn your eyes from those things that really is worthless. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, hey, what I'm trying to say is those things that perish, don't look at those things. It is God that provides those things. Colossians 3:1-4 says, just for time, putting up? Okay. Colossians 3:1-4 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So the Bible is telling you to set your mind on things above. Why? Because when you do, you know where your source is. You know where your priorities are. You know where the faith comes from. You know everything is from Him. So, in order for us to really channel our minds to things above, You need to have a relationship with him, with Jesus. Jesus is the answer to humanity. So seeking first the kingdom of God signifies that you need to have a knowledge of Jesus. And when you have a knowledge of Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, what happens? Everything will be added unto you. So, I want to encourage some of us that haven't really given our lives to Christ. It's important that we do, because it's a relationship that, because when you have the relationship, you have the understanding that it's all about him, and he is the provider of all these things. So you need to be born again. It's not enough to come to church and say, I'm going to church. I have been to church, not being born again. So it's an encouragement that I'm encouraging us. Because you wouldn't understand what I'm saying until you really have that connection. Until you really have that relationship. Because when you have that relationship with him, you then know that he is the provider. Praise the Lord. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to all their body. So having a connection, having an understanding of who Christ is, gives you life and gives you healing. You know, I think about it. Look at the message said something. It said in a different way. It says, those who discover these words, really live body and soul, they are bursting with health. So one question God asked me while I was preparing this. He says, if you had all the money in the world and you don't have your health, what good is your money? Really, what good is it? So it's something that we need to have an understanding that we need Christ in every step of the way. Because he knows the way. And he is the way. Praise the Lord. Because when you have this understanding, you will be all about the family business. And the family business is about winning souls. The family business is about taking up what Christ has told us to take up. To do what? He says, going into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. This is not, like I described in Life Center last month. This is not a thing for only evangelism group. This is a thing that has been given to us believers. It's a commission, it's a command that we need to do. And as we do, God gets involved in our own business. You see, that's the cheapest way of God getting involved in your own business. You see, when we don't understand the way God operates, we look back and say, it's Pastor Dorothy's ministry anyway. Maybe if I have some food, if Brother Chris Onyechi is doing food, maybe I can come and eat real quick and disappear. But you're doing yourself injustice. But when you're after God's own business, he says, whoa, he understands that his help is from me. So what happens? He now takes care of your own business. And that's the cheapest way to get blessed. So, I want to encourage the people that have life centers. I wouldn't be able to go around and see how you do it. But seeing the book that majority of us bring is an encouragement that God, this is the prayer that I have for you. In Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So it's this labor of love that you do, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. I talked to some of us here. I see how they do it, and you know how they bring out their own money to bring like food and they make the interaction, and you see people growing. It's amazing. I want to use this opportunity to craft for yourself because it's really good. So now when we go to the second aspect of the causes of worry. The second cause of worry says, don't use your ordinary eyes to examine or understand your situation. Because what happens is when situation happens, you're trying to understand it mentally. You're racking your brain to understand why or how can I solve this problem. Let's look at what verse 22 to 23 says. It says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What the Bible is saying here is, when he's talking about eyes, he's talking about your five senses. He's talking about you looking at things with your natural eyes. And when you look at things with your natural eyes, not with the eyes of God, what happens is that fear comes in. Hopelessness comes in. Anxiety. High blood pressure. Panic attacks, headache, you name it. All kinds of negative side effects come in. But when you decide to turn your eyes, which is something that you need to do, they say practice makes perfect. When you actually decide, you know what? Maybe, you know, something. You know, sometimes what happens is that things will happen now. You lose your job now, God forbid, but I'm just saying, you lose your job now, you think about it today. Okay. But don't think about it tomorrow again, and the whole week, and the whole month. Does you no good. What you need to do is, you need to put it into perspective. You need to know who your God is. You know, let me tell you something. I've learned a lot from Pastor Emmanuel. What Pastor Mano does is, you know, I was talking to somebody and she didn't have a job and she was a little bit concerned and worried a little bit. And I was telling her, I says, that there's nothing God cannot do. Absolutely nothing. The question is, do you believe that there's nothing he cannot do? That's the question. And can you stake your life that there's nothing he cannot do? And I was trying to encourage her, and I saw that her facial, you know, sometimes, you know, you see a facial and you can feel, but she wasn't there yet. So I said, okay, it's okay. So Pastor Manu was walking by. And I said, Pastor, this woman, she doesn't have a job. And she's worried. The first thing Pastor Manuel said was, congratulations, that God is going to take care of you. But you know what? It is on point. It's on point. Because that is the main thing, is that because you're his child, he has no option but to take care of you. Period. That's it. Finito. If you look at the thing about it is, if you look at it, it's something that you need to develop your faith, knowing that God is able to do these things. Because the Bible says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Look at Hebrew 12:2 in Amplified MC, MMPC. It says, looking away. You see, this is amazing. Look at Amplified. Looking at what he's saying. This is something that you need to understand. It says, looking away from all that will distract. Look, buddy. It finished. I don't need to read again. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief. And is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining prize, we know all that. But what I'm trying to get at is, the Bible says he will bring it to what? Maturity and perfection. And it's telling you, for the Bible to tell you to look away. Look away from all that is going to distract you. The Bible knows what he's talking about. The Bible is telling you, dude. Sorry, I normally say dude. Dude, look away. Because let me tell you something. We need to use, instead of using our physical eyes, we need to see the way God sees it. He says, I'll put here, it says, faith does not consider anything using five senses. Faith considers only what is written in the Word of God. Faith uses the eyes of God in any situation. You look at Abraham, just for time, because I have the scriptures, but you look at Abraham and Sarah. You know, we talk about this, but have you tried to imagine him that old having children? But you know what? I have to read it because it's important. It says Romans 4:16-22. I'll read it fast. It says, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, and Abraham is the father of all who believe. This is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you a father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life, who creates new out of nothing. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he who would become the father of many nations, that he would become father of many nations. He says, for God had said to him, this is how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at 100 years old, he figured his body was good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. In this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced. Another place says he was fully persuaded that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. See, you look at this. I'll summarize this passage. You look at it, it says, Abraham, one, Abraham believed God, he had faith. Two, Abraham, his faith was on God, who calls things that are not as if they were. Three, the reason why he believed was because the revelation that, you know, the angel of God came and showed him the star and says, these are the number of children you're going to have. He had that revelation. He knew that what is going to happen is going to happen. Four, he did not use his physical eyes to consider. And five, he did not waver. He did not waver. He said, what God said, this is going to happen. But you think about it. You think about it for a minute. You know, sometimes the reason why we waver because we're not sure he's going to do it. We're not certain. We're wondering. It's taking too long. Why me? I've fasted so long, it's not working. But the Bible says that he's your father. Think about it. Your own earthly father. See, I like my brother, Brother Casimir. I know that if I go and meet Brother Casimir, because I know I gave this example before with chalk, but I'll use my brother. I like him a lot. You know, you see, Brother Casimir, if I go and meet him, I say, Brother Casimir, I need $20. This is without a doubt. I know he's going to give it to me. It's something that we need to, it's more of a paradigm shift. We need to shift the position of really understanding who your father is. That's why I say, that's why I came up. I came from this wing to say, you need this relationship. Because when you have this relationship, you know who your father is. You know that you can go to him at any point in time T. That he will definitely give it to you. Praise the Lord. Because let me tell you something. We know that if you waver, the Bible says you will not get what? Anything. You will not receive anything. And anything means anything. So the thing is, when you face situations or trials, or, you know, my prayer to you, what I'm pleading to you is, don't use your physical eyes to see it. Because when you use your physical eyes to see it, you wouldn't understand how to even go about it. Let me tell you something. I've come to realize in my life that there was a point in time in my life that I had so much money, you know, and what happened when I was younger, I had so much money, but I came into, I'll call it a perplexing situation. That the money couldn't do it. My friends couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. But thank God for one woman. Thank God for one woman that came and told me to give my life to Jesus. When I was Irvington, when we used to live in Irvington, she came and told me, said, Chuka, you know what your problem is? I said, what? Say, you need Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you so boogie, God will take care of it. Did I speak the thing real, Sister Carol? So the thing about it is, you have to understand And you see, let me tell you something also, is that while you're going through this circumstance and you're believing in God, the devil is also, he's also around the corner. He's at work. You know, the Bible says he's a thief. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. What does he want? He wants that faith. He wants you to drop the faith. He brings all kinds of, I call it a pack of tricks. Fear, doubts, all kinds of things. Because he wants you to look at the situation. I'll give you an example of what happened. There was a time when we used to live in Franklin Park. And we just finished coming back from church. And the staircase is so inclined. I came out of the car and my leg, as soon as I took it out, my leg clicked. I could hear it. It was so loud. It was a very loud click. The unfortunate part is also is that my wife traveled that week and I went grocery shopping. So I just came back from church too. So the thought of climbing, taking all that grocery and climbing upstairs and coming back was very scary. So when the thing clicked, I took my leg and clicked it back. Because I said, I have to do this. And it was very painful. But what happened was, I thought about it. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you just came back from church. And they just talked about faith. So why don't you be a doer of the word? See, let me tell you something. God is expecting us to take his word as it is. It will be painful. When I was going up the stairs, it was painful. But let me tell you something. By the time I went up down like 3 or 4 times, when I was coming down, I didn't remember that my leg was hurting me because I was running down. And I'm here today. Praise the Lord. You should understand that the devil comes with all kinds of tricks. He comes with all kinds of things. So we don't need to be deceived by his tricks. Just for time, you could read it later. You talk about the three Hebrew boys in Daniel 3. How Nebuchadnezzar decided to heat up the fire 7 times. And what happened to the man of valor? He got killed. That right there can put fear in your heart. Let me tell you something. When a situation happens, that's why they say, when it rains, it pours. That's where. So, your situation becomes from one, worse, worser, worsest. Bad, badam, badamba. So, it becomes so grave that you are about to lose your thought process. What can I do in this situation? But look at what the three Hebrew boys did. They did what? They stood their ground. They stood their ground and said, what you want to do, just do it. Because I know my God. And even if he doesn't, I'm not going to. It's somebody that knows their God. You see, the Bible says, when you know your God, you'll be strong and do exploits. Let me tell you something. I'll read over here. It says, spiritual maturity is not that you have been in faith or you have been a Christian for years. Spiritual maturity is determined by the stability when faced with crisis. So you could be in faith for 25 years. But when something happens, you fall. But by God's grace, you rise up again. But the point I'm making is that it's your spiritual mature is when you look in the face of trouble and say, my God will take care of me. And that's what David did. Saul, who was a man of war, he looked at the giant and says, man, I can't do it. But a little boy comes up and says, he had confidence in his God. He knew, I put here, he says, he knew that the battle was the Lord's, and the battle was already won. And he took his ground and says, nah, you can't do it. And that's what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to just, you know, when things happen, we say, oh my goodness, what should I do? No. You should look at the face of it and say, you know what? No. Do like Paul. Say, this one won't move me. Nope. I know who my God is. I know who he is. And if I know who he is, he's going to take care of me. Praise the Lord. And you know, another way, see, we're still talking about the causes. Another way the devil comes about, he uses tricks, imaginations. He starts to tell you stuff. You know, Brother Chris, you acted a very wonderful thing in the men's retreat, because that's what he does. He brings suggestions. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's telling you, use the word of God. When you're in faced with situation, what word do you have that you're standing on? What word are you saying? What word are you believing? You can't go to war without your weapons. Let me tell you something. There's one thing I remember when I was preparing this. I remember what I put down, I think, a few years ago. It says, complain and remain. You praise and be raised. Praise, when the thing starts to bubble within you that, no. This thing, God is able to do it. Before you know it, you start to praise God. God, you're awesome. I know this problem. This problem, because let me tell you something. When you start praising your God, the problem becomes smaller. You don't think about that problem. So today, you know, God also laid in my heart that there are a few of us that haven't laughed in a while. Because there's a lot of things weighing them down. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, and a broken spirit zaps a person's strength. It's awesome, I'm telling you, because when you laugh, you look at it. You know what it does? Let me tell you what it does. You see, I didn't understand when God said, laugh. And some of us that didn't want to laugh, that were frowning, like, what kind of... What you're saying is, you're looking at the situation in the eye. And you know who your God is. And you start to laugh. That is a done deal. It's like, devil, bring it on. It's okay, bring it on. But I, because it's not me doing it. So bring it on. He caught it. The little boy caught it. He caught it. Because there's a knowing. You see, there's a knowing who your God is. There's a knowing who your God is. So that when that situation comes, you look at it, you look at it with authority. You look at it like, you kidding me? Is this all you got? Praise the Lord. Finally, I won't say finally, but let me keep going. I have a few more minutes. Verse 24 of that Matthew 6, 24. Verse 24 says, 6:24. He says, no one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. But look at it in the message. The message says, you cannot worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you end up hating the other. Looking at this, and I was asking God how it means that money is also could be termed as a god. You could be. You might say maybe not, but you see people worshiping money. There's a worship of money. But we know who our God is, so we don't worship money. Praise the Lord. You look at the people that worship money. Let's look at them. It says in Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning to late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his beloved ones. You know, when I was looking at this scripture, I said, it's so amazing. God doesn't sleep. So why are we now not sleeping? You know, Bible says he does not sleep or slumber. He's awake. We too are awake. Why? Because what happened is we have misplaced priorities. You see, I understand this is America. I do. Because I've been here since a long time. Too long. I was here since when I was like 20. I came here when I was 20. So I have an understanding of how America is. But you see, not being informed, not having an understanding of the spiritual, not reading your Bible, not, you know, podcast is free. I don't know how many people really go on podcast. You miss work. You don't come to church. But you go on podcast to say, let me listen to what was said. Are we in touch with God? Are we doing a one-on-one with him? Are we in your mind? Are you involved in the things of God, like I was saying before? Are you part of a church? Those things you need to have an understanding, because with all the money in the world, and you lose your soul, so what does it profit you? I put here, it says, money can be an idol. But we forget that money is a tool. We also forget he gave us the power to make wealth. According to Deuteronomy 8:18. So if he gave you the power to make wealth, are you telling me that God can't give you the power to do one job and come to church and make the same amount of money that you do with two? It's a question I want to ask. You know, we sing the song, I have a very big God, whoa, he's always by my side, a very big God, whoa, by my side. So you say he's a very big God. So have you gone to the same God that is so big and say, God, you know, I'm doing two jobs, whoa. You know, I can't come to church as regular. Is there any way you can give me one job that would help me with both? You know why I'm saying this? Because there was a point in time that I almost did it. I almost had a second job. And I went back to God. And I said, God, if I don't, my wife prays this prayer. She says, she says that if she's looking for a job, she tells God, says, God, I want a job that I will be able to still come to church regularly. And you know what? I've prayed that prayer almost 100% of the time. And God always sustains. Always brings a job. I'm telling you, I almost did it until she called me and says, look at this. I say, you know what? What you're saying is true. And I did, and God did. Dare to trust this God. Dare to trust him because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can think or imagine. I'm telling you, if you know the kind of God you are, you have, you sleep. I'm telling you, you sleep. Because you know the God you have, he will always take care of you. Amen? Look at this scripture. The scripture is amazing. Ecclesiastes 5, 10 to 12. It says, in New Living, I'm going to read in New Living and also Message. But I'll read verse 12 in Message. It says, those who love money will never have enough. Think about it. Is that true? When you have, and it's so amazing. The Bible really says it. You think about it. You know, God says I should use this one, but I don't know what I want to use, but I'll still use it because he said I should use it. You know, you think about cars nowadays. They have gearbox cars. Now they don't have car with gearbox anymore. Is it electronic? You become you're so insatiable. You want more and more and more and more and more and more and more. But look at it. It says, how meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you to spend it. Think about it. I remember a story of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He had the first $1 million and his friends would be taking them to Philly to eat Chili's cheesesteak. And before he knew it, the money finished. Then he went to ask somebody for $20. They didn't want to give it to him. That's what the Bible says. Let me finish reading. It says, so what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? He says, people work hard. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much. But the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. Now let's look at message in that verse 12. It says, hard and honest work and a good sleep. Whether supper is beans or steak. But a rich man's belly gives him insomnia. You know what the Bible is saying here? It says, but the rich man, his belly gives him insomnia because he's always thinking. He can't sleep. I don't want to, you know, as Christians, you know the difference between joy and happiness. Because you know that joy is the what bubbles in your heart. Happiness is when the money is, you see your bank, you see money, and you just laugh. Yeah, I got money. But that's so short-lived because things happen. But you know what God says I should also tell us, please? Is that at times we use things of the world, we say things of the world and bring it to the kingdom, which is wrong. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes we say, I want to have an emergency money, emergency savings. God asked me one day, why do we call it emergency? Is it that we're expecting an emergency? It's wrong. Why don't you call it plain savings? Is there anything wrong with plain savings? No. But when you say emergency money, when the emergency comes, that money, it won't be enough for the emergency. Because the devil is wicked. The devil will run you over and dry. So you need to understand the secret. There's a secret behind not worrying. There's a secret behind not worrying. And the secret is found in Philippians 4, 11 to 13. There's a secret that Paul discovered in New Living. He says, not that I was ever in need, for I learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, or with plenty or little, for I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. His secret is Jesus. You see, when you know the secret that is Jesus, Paul is saying, no matter what, I know he's going to take care of me. Whatever it is. Paul understood the secret, what it is. Let's look at Matthew 6:33 in Message. In Message, you will understand it even clearer. Because when you understand the secret, when you understand the secret, you have an understanding of what to do. It says, in Message, it says, people who don't know God and the way he works, Let's look at it. It says, steep your life, steep it. It means you put yourself in it. Your life in God's reality, God's initiative, God's provision. God's provisions. You look at it and it says, you know, we talk about is the he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My God is so big. You know, his bank account, you think about it, he says, look at it though. He says, don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. What he's saying is, put yourself in him. Put your life in him. Put your all in him. And when you do, this God will do what? He will take care of you. He will take care of you. He will take care of every need. I'm going to leave you with this verse. This verse is what I'm going to leave you with before I call Pastor Victor. Because, like I said in the beginning, troubles will come. Issues will come. Unbelieving believers will show up. Things would happen. But look at what Psalm 121 says. And I'll leave you with this. And my prayer is that you will have an understanding who your God is. He says, I'll look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Go ahead. I'm reading the whole thing. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you does not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel. Never sleeps, never slumbers, never sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as a protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Amen. This God is too much. So if you know it's too much, why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? It's too much already. Put it in God's hands. I use this opportunity while I call Pastor Victor up. Use this opportunity. What is the problem that you're going through? Go to the Bible right now and look for the scripture that's pertaining to that problem. And go to God and say, God, you're the only one I have. I don't know how to solve this issue. You got it. I want to, could you just rise? I want to just give you an opportunity.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.